Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining me for the very first episode of Future Show, the weekly talk show about the future with Jonathan Myers, that's me, and my guests. This week, I'm talking with my good friend Will about the next internet, Back to the Future, robot vacuums, illegal pets, business casual, the West, what is it, and the Airbnb of food service. Let's get into it. I think maybe the idea isn't what's the next internet, but maybe just the future of how we experience the internet. Mm. Because that idea of connectivity isn't necessarily, I don't think it's run its course, obviously. Mm. So then it's more about how we connect to other people with that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, now we use handheld devices primarily to do that, and there are people pursuing ideas like Google Glasses and mm-hmm. whatnot. And what's the next idea beyond that?
Well, the brain is, I think that if you had a cap that sent electrical shocks to certain parts of your brain.
Doc Brown.
Doc Brown.
That's what you're describing right now.
Is that what he, what was his, yeah, he had some funky helmet on
this
or something.
This damn thing doesn't work at all. That's the idea you're describing.
What was it supposed to be?
This was like a mind reading device.
Oh.
It was like a colander. I'm not sure what
like
it
was. Like he was trying to read, oh right, he hooked Marty up to something and then he was trying to read his thoughts.
No, when Marty comes to the door, he's wearing it.
Yeah.
And he tries to intuit who Marty is and why he's there.
But I think he sits him down.
He thinks that he's part of the Youth Coast Guard auxiliary.
because he sits him down and he puts a suction cup on his forehead or something like that.
Mm, that's true.
And because I remember that he pulls it off.
Yeah.
In a dramatic, not dramatic, but in a certain way.
Yeah, there's an audible nature.
In a almost as a point of punctuation or something like that. Doc, I'm from the future. Face the facts, man. You built a time machine in the future.
Yeah.
Do you think time machines are the future?
I don't think so.
Oh. Okay.
Well, they might be the past of the future.
Because I'll scratch that off my list of things to attempt.
Hmm.
It's really great having you on the show. I like this.
I'm not sure if I'm saying anything that makes any sense.
Well, that's not really the point.
Well, that's fair.
Sense is not the point of this show.
Maybe you should have an episode about past ideas of the future.
You mean like...
Like Back to the Future.
Like robot maids or something like that?
Maybe. Like the Jetsons?
Mm-hmm.
They had that.
Will, did I tell you that I'm planning on getting a Roomba?
Hmm.
A Roomba 880 vacuum cleaning robot.
DJ Roomba.
DJ Roomba.
That's all I can think.
So here's the thing. It's not... It's important... everybody, hear this, okay? It's important to think of a Roomba not as a... as an expensive vacuum cleaner. Because they're kind of pricey. Like, if you're pricing it compared to vacuum, just get a Dyson or get whatever.
But as an inexpensive robot.
As a very inexpensive robot that happens to vacuum your floors every single day. Mm. You can vacuum, have your house vacuumed every single day. Just let that sink in.
You can wear out your carpet 7 times as fast as normal.
Wait, vacuuming
people.
Wears it out?
Sure.
No, treading, like, stomping on dirt wears it out, right?
Also wears it out. But if you think about it, a vacuum brushing your carpet, it ends up with all that lint in there. That's pieces of your carpet.
Actually, is the great thing, though, about the Roomba 880 is that it has these rubber rollers. It doesn't have, like, big brushes. It has these rubber rollers that are tighter. And I don't think that they're actually, like, scraping the fibers of your very carpet.
It still seems like friction on your carpet.
Well, your carpet's clean.
Anyway, so your Roomba.
Yeah.
It's patrolling your house.
Yeah.
Seven times a week.
Seven times a week. More if you want. Seems overkill to me, although it seems overkill to vacuum your carpet each day.
It does.
But there is that we live in such an, in the first world, in the USA, there is such luxury. Mm-hmm. It's incredible. Kind of blows my mind. Makes me feel a little, I have mixed feelings about it.
I think that the segue there was, robot maids, mm-hmm. i.e. the Jetsons.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what is, other than vacuuming your carpet, what is the purpose you can see for the Roomba beyond that?
Serving you things, like going to procure something from a device that was designed for the Roomba. So you store all of your foodstuffs in the Roomba. Mm. Or not in the Roomba, I'm sorry, in this special cabinet that the Roomba can then go to and talk to the cabinet and get a like a little Roomba vending machine thing that then places it.
Just rattles out a can onto the top of the Roomba.
Yeah, yeah. And then it balances it just on its way over to you on the couch.
There's your chunky soup,
Master. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. And it's ready to go. It has a plastic spoon taped to the... Mm. It's made out of corn, the spoon.
Oh, I thought
so it's biodegradable.
The Roomba.
And the can is maybe made out of corn, too. Mm. And it's corn. It's corn chowder.
Corn seems big in the future.
Yeah, corn's big in the future. It's big now. It's even bigger in the future. House is made out
just
of corn.
Just you wait.
Yeah. wait, what were we actually talking about? Oh, Roomba's delivery. But then I thought, that seems like just too lazy. I mean, we already have this crazy idea of having to go to a gym to keep your body in shape where
because
I feel
we get
like
no natural exercise.
Right, because we don't do anything physical.
Right.
All that we do is sit or stand around and operate a robot. Oh, man, it's crazy. The world we live in today.
So you're going to get a Roomba, huh?
Yeah, I love it. I love it. It's great. Yeah, I did some polling from some people, and I have heard no bad reviews about a robot vacuum, other than if you have pets, they might attack it. Like, it might not get along with your pets, so you gotta, you know, what's more important to you, clean carpet or Fido?
I think if you've made the decision to have pets, you've already decided that pets are more important to you than clean carpet.
Right. But maybe you just haven't really deeply considered the reality of having clean carpets every day.
Maybe not. Or maybe you're getting a Roomba so that you can keep up with your pets.
Right. And then what are you going to do? Well, I don't know. Just give it a shot. Get a Roomba. See how it gets along with your pets. See how your pets get along with it.
You just set your Roomba for night cleaning while your pet's asleep.
It is a vacuum cleaner, though. I mean, it sounds like a vacuum cleaner.
As loud as a normal vacuum cleaner?
It might be a little quieter, but it's a vacuum cleaner.
And it's going to wake your pet up.
It'll probably wake your pet up, yeah.
Your pet's going to know
yeah.
when that's on the prowl.
Right. You've got to have a chill pet if you're going to have a Roomba. But what about that? I don't know. Roomba, get it. $880. I don't know. I don't even know if it's good. It might be lousy. I've heard it's great though. I've heard it's real good. Totally worth the money.
Is the 880 the premier model?
It was, but then they came out with the 980. And so now the 880 with all of its wonderful features is less expensive. Now is the perfect time to buy a Roomba 880. Once again, that's Roomba 880 at iRobot.com or I don't know what the website is. Never mind. I'm just trying real hard to get some sponsorship.
Yeah. Hey, yo, Roomba.
Yeah. No, but I'll let you know.
Okay. Let me know how that goes.
After I get it, I'll have you back on, let you know.
Let me know how Roomba is getting along with your pets.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I will. All of my pets. Each and every one of them.
Mm-hmm.
You guys, I don't have any pets. I'm sorry.
He doesn't have any
pets. Actually, I'm not sorry, but I just need to let you know that there are no pets in my house.
Not a consideration in your Roomba purchasing.
Yeah, I haven't had to think about it. I don't know. What do you think the future of pet ownership?
I think that pets, they serve primarily, for most people, they don't serve any purpose other than companionship.
Mm-hmm.
But people are interested in companionship, so I don't see them going away.
Yeah.
I don't know. Outside of that, I mean, there's always the exotic pet owners.
Ooh, like pythons?
Pythons, chimpanzees. Who knows? Who knows what?
Whoa. So you think that maybe, do you think that exotic pet ownership will increase?
I think that if you have anything other than a cat or dog, that you're already in on exotic pet ownership.
Like if you have a parakeet?
You're outside the norm already.
It does seem like in America, cats and dogs are kind of like the pets.
Yeah,
maybe you have like a gerbil or a hamster in a cage. That's a thing.
Yeah, it is. Do you think that a lot of times those types of pets seem to be more prevalent with kids?
That I was just thinking about that. That like it doesn't seem like a lot of 30-year-olds or 50-year-olds have gerbils or hamsters.
Some probably do. But I think maybe that's like a safe dip your toe in the water situation, kind of like, oh, here, 10-year-old kid, we'll let you have a gerbil.
Right, because they're inexpensive.
And they're supposed to be in a cage or a aquarium or terrarium, right. Whatever.
Man, yeah, terrarium, I don't know.
Not an aquarium. Yeah, don't put your gerbil in an aquarium.
Don't do it.
Yeah.
Just say no.
Your gerbil will not fare well in an aquarium.
Yeah, okay. No, that's interesting that there are kid pets and there are adult pets, and adult pets tend to be cats and dogs.
Yeah, other than exotic pets. But if you're an adult interested in exotic pets, you're probably going a little higher stakes,
mm-hmm.
like you mentioned, a python.
Right.
Or, I mean, there's all these illegal exotic pets, I suppose.
Probably. Whoa, like a rhino?
Probably. I mean, someone probably has a rhino.
Yeah.
But I was thinking more like, I think there are a variety of snakes and other pets that are illegal to own within the United States.
Yeah, like super deadly python snakes. Not pythons, but some deadly snake.
There's probably people who are harboring endangered species as pets, because that seems like an exotic thing to do.
Yeah.
You know. I mean,
They're probably pretty rich, though.
Bald eagle.
Oh,
I mean, if you've got it all, then a bald eagle is really what you're missing.
Yeah. Do you own a bald eagle? Yeah. Oh, wow. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
National birds.
Yeah.
Is, in Colorado, the columbine is our national state flower. Mm-hmm. Is that illegal to pick?
I'm not sure. It probably depends on where you pick it.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking, like, maybe if you're taking someone out on a date, you want to get them flowers, but they've got all the flowers already.
I've acquired all of the flowers, except for the rare and exotic columbine flower.
Yeah.
This is the one and only that has eluded me, despite the fact that I live in the state where it is the state flower.
Yeah.
Proclaiming its prevalence.
I bet it's not illegal to pick a columbine if it's the state flower, because it's probably because it's so abundant.
I think you're not supposed to pick flowers anywhere in like a public park or something, because that is it's property of the government. You're not supposed to pick any of those flowers. Right?
So like if I'm on the White House, I'm not supposed to pick the flowers?
I think if you're just at the playground, you're not supposed to pick the flowers.
Oh.
I think we've caught Jonathan.
Oh, boy. I'll give a little more on my taxes or something like that. It'll cover the cost.
Yeah.
So what do you think the future of playgrounds is?
soft, probably. Got to get rid of all these hard surfaces. They're too dangerous.
Yeah.
So
it is kind of fascinating the way that it gets, it has gotten just more and more like our grandparents played on like rusty steel construction sites or something like that. And tomorrow's children are playing on like pillowed surface.
Yeah.
Not even any, there's no rise higher than 3 feet.
Yeah. But our grandparents were a lot tougher than we are.
Right.
And that.
But I think I would argue that our grandparents were tougher than we are because they were allowed to play on rusty construction sites.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. They were a lot tougher than us.
Like, you gotta throw a, kid into the fray to make, to say, like, you can do it. Suck it up.
Yeah.
Play on that rusty construction site.
Yeah. We'll get a tetanus shot on the way home.
Yeah.
For now, play hot lava on this yeah. sand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm. They used to play hot lava on lava.
On hot lava. Yeah. Yeah. All of our grandparents grew up in Hawaii.
Yeah.
In the volcano area.
On the Big Island.
On the Big Island.
Actually, I don't know if there's many volcanoes on the Big Island.
Yeah, my...
My Hawaiian geography is lousy, I'll be honest. Someday. Someday, Hawaii.
We haven't really focused on a topic at all. Although we started on a topic and yeah. then just devolved.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was planning on doing in the first place.
Mm. Maybe we shouldn't have started on a topic. That's where we goofed.
We should have just not had a topic.
Zero topic.
Mm. We just started with, like, what's the future of sweatshirts? What's the future of Fresh Jive?
I'm unsure. I know very little about Fresh Jive.
Yeah. For those of you who don't know, Fresh Jive is a clothing company, a lifestyle brand, if you will.
Yeah. Streetwear, I believe.
Streetwear. Streetwear. Which, as opposed to...
I'm not sure.
What other wear is there? I mean, like, there's, okay, there's, like, pajamas.
Office wear.
There's gym wear, right, there's, okay. So, okay.
Business casual.
So I wear...
Biz cash.
An oversized button-down shirt that's tucked in to my tan pants and my dress shoes. And then I get off work and I put on streetwear?
Maybe.
Or do I just wear streetwear all day long?
It depends. I think it depends
on... Yeah, where am I working?
Yeah.
Where am I working? Well,
because some people, they probably take off their business wear and they put on business casual because that's what they like to wear when they're in when they're in a casual time.
People wear business casual, the worst defined clothing genre of all.
I think so.
Like, what is business casual?
I think that... I don't think
it exists.
I think on a regular basis, you can find a gentleman wearing chinos and a button-down shirt in a casual environment.
What's casual? Like Applebee's?
Chili's.
Okay.
So we've just defined that these two competing restaurants have cornered
that's casual.
The business casual eating environment.
I think you're right, though. I do think that this is business casual. It's like,
so.
Like right in the middle of middle class.
Mm. Maybe. Probably with jeans, which are really more casual, not business casual.
Yeah.
But that's, well, like, that's the everyman wear.
But jeans. What's funny about it, I guess, is that I think it really depends region to region.
I think,
like,
so too.
What is business casual? Well, where are you talking about? If you're talking about
here in the Midwest,
right?
It's probably jeans.
Colorado's the Midwest. We're in Colorado.
So. I believe so. We're.
I think it's the West.
Middle.
Yeah.
Ish.
But I think that Colorado has a much is perceived. I imagine that Colorado is perceived differently than Nebraska or Iowa or.
Really.
Yeah. Maybe not Western Colorado, Eastern Colorado.
So you think that, and I could see, like, people say,
I think from Denver,
like, Illinois, people pretty consistently would categorize as the Midwest.
Right.
But then do you think that there's a distinct difference between Nebraska and Colorado? Or Kansas and Colorado? I think people would probably categorize those three states, lump them right in.
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
I think that Colorado stands alone.
Do you think there's no other states that fall into the category?
Of what Colorado is. Yeah.
So we're not Midwest.
And I think that Colorado is the West. Hmm. I think that people from what California and Seattle.
I mean, the West Coast.
Right.
But outside of that, what else is considered the West? Colorado and over? Are we the cutoff line?
I think Colorado. I don't think Utah is considered the West.
You don't. Well, it's west of us.
But that's not how categories work. No, I think
categories
that,
are really that, confusing.
I think that Utah is in its own. Is it? I think Colorado is in its own category. I think Utah is in its own category. I think Nevada is in its own category.
I'm hearing you say that all states are in their own category
right
now. There
are 50 categories for states.
There's the East Coast and the West Coast.
Yeah, and that comprises
there's the
like
South, and then there's all the other states have their own categories.
Wait, there's 13 colonies. Are all 13 colonies considered the East Coast? Or is it only the states that have oceanfront property?
Well, coast would mean only the...
Yeah, but like Vermont is real close to the ocean. Relatively.
I think that would be considered the Northeast.
Oh, nice. Sounds lovely.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's see. We've talked about a lot of good stuff. I feel like we're on a good roll with this, the 50 state stuff. Hmm. Oh, right. We're categorizing Colorado. I think Colorado is part of the West. Because people imagine that Coloradans wear cowboy hats.
Yeah.
That's not true, but
for those of you who are not here.
Right.
Yeah. That's not true, but people do think that. But people also think that we, like, ski to work and things like that.
You don't?
That's snow skiing, by the way. It seems like a prevalent idea.
Yeah.
That we all live in ski resorts.
I imagine that Utah is a resort.
I don't, but I've been there, so.
I've been there, too.
And you still imagine it that way.
I still imagine it. Well, here's the problem.
I've been there, too. I was only in Park City, but I do imagine the entire state this way.
Mm-hmm. I think that, I don't know, because I imagine that it has a lot of mountains, mm-hmm. even though it has salt flats, right? Because
mm-hmm.
Salt Lake City's in there. The salt flats begin
The Bonneville salt flats.
Are in Utah?
That's where they do, like, land speed record racing.
Is that not in Nevada? Does it go into Nevada?
Maybe you got
it.
Does
it cross the border?
I'm not really sure.
Yeah.
I wish I knew.
I think it might. I think that, like, halfway in between...
Maybe it's in Nevada.
Utah and Nevada is the salt flat... Or, like, that the salt flats occupy half of each state.
Hmm. That area.
Yeah.
Sort of the Nevada, Utah, California...
Not California. I think that as you're going through Nevada, mm-hmm. you will exit the salt flats and get into the foothills of the Sierra Nevadas.
Mm.
And then you'll find yourself in Tahoe. Wait, is that right? Yeah, Tahoe. Yeah.
I don't know. I haven't explored this.
Have you thought about buying property? Oh, Will. What's the future of property? In ten words or less. You can use more than 10 words.
Okay.
You don't have to count your words either.
I think people who own a lot of property will keep acquiring more property. Disallowing people who own no property to own any property.
Ooh, you think that people who own property are going to just gobble up all the property so there's no property for people who don't have property yet?
Seems likely. I think that happens in big cities.
Right, where there's like
in rural areas.
There's like a handful of people that own the property.
Yeah.
Yeah. what do you think about... Do you think that... Well, no, because somebody still has to own the property. But I wonder if more of it will be, well, Okay, so here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking about the decentralization of everything and that nobody owns anything. Like, in the Netflix is huge. Mm-hmm. It's humongous. Mm-hmm. For like $10 a month, you can own no movies, right, but you can watch this catalog of movies whenever you want. Mm-hmm. With streaming services like Spotify or RDO or whatever. Oh, rest in peace. RDO. RDO rest is resting in peace. It's actually probably resting in agony.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
I don't feel bad about RDO, but I feel upset as a once RDO subscriber. I think it's just a great service. Anyway, and they paid out the best in the industry. Hmm. End of rant. I don't think that was a rant. It was a thing.
Yeah, it was a swerve.
Yeah, but with streaming services, you can pay a monthly fee and you don't own any music, but you can listen to whatever music they have to offer.
Right.
And I guess I'm thinking about the future of housing, that I wonder if there will be things like that where, like, Airbnb apparently has more rooms available than, like, the Marriott.
But people own all of those rooms. Airbnb doesn't own those rooms.
Right. No, but that's what I'm... Right. And that's where I was thinking, like, well, somebody still owns the stuff.
Although music streaming, I guess, is the same way, or video streaming.
Somebody still owns
someone
that
who
music.
Owns that
They're just not making
property,
very much money on it.
They're leasing it to Netflix or whatever.
Yeah. So, I think that the future is logistics. I think that if you can work out, if you can make something, a process, as frictionless as possible, you can make a fortune. Like, a huge fortune.
So basically by making things easy for people.
Right.
Because, well, people like things that are easy.
Yeah. But all, like, Uber and Airbnb, they do the same thing. Mm-hmm. All they do is connect two parties. Mm-hmm. Like,
they're a middleman.
Yeah, they're a middleman. If you can create a setup that has a nice internet web interface and a mobile solution or whatever that works on smartphones, blah, 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 then you, like, if it were...
So who are two people that need to be connected?
Me, I have trash in my trash can. Uh-huh. I need someone to come pick up my trash.
But I'm guessing you already have a trash service.
Well, you're missing the point. We can disrupt this. Together, Will. You and me.
I didn't know that was something that people are having an issue with.
Actually, I don't think that it is. I don't think that the trash service yet is facing anything like that. But there are things still like that. Like, there's a service called Rover. Mm-hmm. It is a dog-sitting Airbnb. There's a service called Dolly that is an Airbnb labor thing. Like, I need somebody to move my couch from
just
here to there.
Just for, like, day labor?
Yeah.
Oh, just, like gigs.
Just gigs, yeah.
And these are just things where they're like, hey, we're going to do things that Craigslist is already doing, but we're going to just do them and specify in a certain area.
Actually, I think that Craigslist, Dolly is probably a great... companion to Craigslist. Like, oh, I have this antique whatever that I bought and I need somebody to move it for me. Like, I don't want to actually go pick it up.
Right, but you could post that in Craigslist under the gigs section.
Oh, like, I need
somebody to pick this up for me.
Only it's like doing an even better job of connecting because it's a particular thing. You know, like, oh, this is
they're
labor.
Specifying.
Yeah. Almost like if you had an app just for the talent gigs or something like that.
Yeah. Specialists. Mm-hmm. So what thing has someone not already specialized in pertaining to connecting people?
Let's see.
And that will be the future.
Yeah. What are people doing? So they're eating. Mm-hmm. They're eating food.
But there's already food delivery services.
I don't even know if I might cut this out of the show because it's so good. Okay. food making.
Mm-hmm.
It's so easy to, like, if somebody, so there's two families, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Family A, someone in that family loves to cook. They cook for the family every night.
Mm-hmm.
And they enjoy cooking. It's not a big deal. And so they cook. Family B would love to, they hate to cook.
Mm.
They just don't have time for it. But they know that eating home-cooked food is probably better than going out to Applebee's every
so
night.
So the Hendersons deliver you a portion of their enchilada casserole.
Yeah, they just make a little extra of, they make a double batch of enchilada casserole, and the Bildersons.
Yeah, the Fleischmans.
The Fleischmans. The Hendersons, so the Hendersons make enchilada casserole. The Fleischmans, order it through this app, or they make like an arrangement. This is good idea.
This is like, this it's is close to idea. A leftovers situation, except for it's being prepared fresh.
It's not leftovers.
It's not yesterday's food. It's tonight's food.
It's tonight's food. It's what's for dinner. We can't use that. I think beef already uses that.
Oh, beef. They've cornered the market.
Yeah. Oh, man, this is a great idea. This is like a legitimate business idea.
Yeah, that is good, actually.
I mean, there's a lot of work that has to go into putting that together.
You're probably going to have to lawyer up when people realize they can do this themselves, A.
What?
And when people try and poison each other, B.
Well, they'd be peer-reviewed. This person gets bad marks because they poisoned me.
Mm. Yeah. Well, that sounds like a proper vetting system to me.
Yeah.
Oh, 4.5 stars?
Bad score.
Not for me. I'm sure they don't poison people.
Oh, that's a great idea.
I could see that. I could see that being a thing.
Mm-hmm.
When I heard about Airbnb the first time, I thought, no, nobody's doing that. People aren't sleeping on, you know, someone's guest bed just because I'm a total stranger. But people do it all the time. It's
all
totally
the
normal.
Time, yeah.
So if that's totally normal, why wouldn't eating half of somebody else's dinner be totally normal?
Yeah. And I think that this is a healthy way. I don't know if it's healthy. It might be like synthetic or whatever. But something that I think the way that things are trending, I feel like the future of human interaction is sparse. And I think that things, probably things like Uber and Airbnb help to like, oh, hi, stranger, you are a human being now because we're having to interact.
Yeah. Maybe what I was imagining is more like, oh, the Hendersons just delivered this enchilada casserole. They seem very friendly. I thought their food was delicious. We just became friends. We don't use this service anymore. Now we just eat together.
Whoa. You just destroyed our business.
Could be, though.
Yeah. So your main concern is just that they're not doing stuff through the app.
Oh, I don't think I'm concerned. I mean, if I was the business owner.
You are the business owner. App. You're the co-business owner.
Oh, well, in that case, I'm concerned.
Okay.
Which makes me determine that a delivery person is necessary. Who picks up the food from the Hendersons and takes it to the Fleischmann so that they never meet and decide to have dinner together.
We have to keep anonymity. I don't know. I'm not actually too concerned about that.
People probably like the idea of the anonymity anyway. You just basically, you put an igloo cooler on your front porch, you put your lasagna out there, one of the drivers comes by, they pick up a lasagna, they take it to the Fleischmann's,
put
done
it in,
and done.
Yeah. Yeah, that might be it. That might be it.
Yeah. Plus, the drivers probably would be tipped.
I imagine there would be gratuity involved. This is making it less appealing. And here's why.
Sounds real, though.
I think that I feel like something that could, that would be appealing about this is that it wouldn't be too much, it's not so much extra effort for the Hendersons to make a little bit extra enchilada casserole.
Right.
The Fleischmanns could pay for the cost of whatever it is to make a little extra.
And delivery.
Unless the Fleischmanns are going to do pickup. Yeah, let's forget about delivery for now. Let's keep delivery out of it for now. Let's think that what the Fleischmanns are going to pay for is the cost of ingredients mm-hmm. plus some on top for the Hendersons. Because it's not... What's that?
For prep.
Yeah, for prep.
I think you would probably get people who became... They decided, hey, what's for dinner app is going to be my new career.
Yeah.
I'm going to make dinner for 30 people every night.
Yeah.
And they basically are running an unregulated restaurant
out of their own house. Is that a problem?
I think so. Because you have to... Food prep has to happen in a...
They're all contractors. They're not employees. They're not employees of mine. What's for dinner is not liable for any food poisoning.
Hmm.
But maybe we'd run into the same Uber problem where the drivers aren't... like, all of the Uber drivers are considered independent contractors.
Okay.
And so Uber doesn't actually have very many employees, mm-hmm. so they don't have to pay insurance for... Their drivers or whatever.
Sure. Hmm. You could start whatsfordinner.org and you just set up people to eat dinner together.
Ooh.
And it's just a nonprofit and you're just connecting hungry people with food.
I kind of like that.
Yeah. It's more noble if it's .org.
Yeah.
Everybody knows that.
Yeah. It's a not-for-profit. Not for much profit.
Not for much profit.
Yeah. The problem...
It's a for some profit.
For some profit. Yeah, I like this idea. I really like this idea of connecting people who have food, mostly because I don't really love cooking.
Yeah.
That's not something that I get... real excited about most days.
Some people do, though. I think some people do.
Right, yeah.
Enjoy the process of picking out a menu item and looking up a recipe and purchasing the ingredients and then cooking and preparing and plating and all of that. Mm-hmm. I think some people really enjoy that process.
Yeah. So here's an idea.
But those people probably have friends that they do it for.
Right.
Because if you're really...
Yeah, actually...
If you're already a great cook who enjoys doing this whole process, you already have plenty of people who want to eat your food.
Yeah. There's no shortage. Something that could be interesting, because I feel like a lot of these people would think like, oh, I'm like hosting someone.
Right. Which would feel like a burden.
Yeah. But if there could be just like a... mundane, like it's a weeknight and some strangers are coming over to have like a regular weeknight meal with you where like people are like, I don't know, maybe they're just like, well, so what'd you do today? Well, I don't know.
Just sort of a surrogate family situation.
Yeah, yeah. Like, are you a single 30-something?
How's your day? Okay. Me too.
Cool.
That was the entire interaction.
Yeah. Well, they just had pizza pockets too. So.
Mm, pizza pockets.
Actually, yeah, that sounds pretty good right now.
It does. It sounds delicious. Well, we're going to take a quick break for pizza pockets.
Hey everyone, thank you very much for listening to this first episode of Future Show. Thanks also to my good friend Will for being my very first guest.
Next week, I'll have the very cool Sterling White on the show. That's going to be a lot of fun. To keep up with updates for this show, or to give me questions, show ideas, I want to hear from you. Tweet at Future Show Show. That's two shows. Tweet. That's tweeting. Also, find the website at futureshowpodcast.com. Also, find this and future episodes of Future Show, so many futures, on iTunes, hopefully, if my podcasting setup goes well. And just remember, the future can happen at any moment.